And hello and welcome. This is episode 30 of Eve Just Chatting, and today's topic is based on user requests, based on some previous podcasts, and based on some discussions on LinkedIn and other platforms lately. And the discussion or the topic for the day is how Comdivision became a global employer. And I want to give you a bit of a background. Comdivision by itself is a professional services company, and as such, we have been operating primarily in EMEA and in the US for the last couple of years. And for those two territories, we primarily use, besides employees, freelance resources, but we were more or less limited to people which we had either directly in the US or which we had in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium, Netherlands. So more or less just around where our offices were located. Last year, we started on a journey to expand our team primarily for architects and consultants, and we're looking for new people to join us on the team, whether it was on freelance, whether it was as an FTE, so a full-time employee, or anything in between, no matter what people were looking for. And we were of the opinion that we would be primarily looking in the US and actually find some good resources in the US. So we started campaigning on social media and other platforms. And very soon we figured out that a lot of the candidates who actually applied to us were not necessarily coming out of the US primarily. So back then we started to look into different options, because trying to employ people globally is not as easy as it sounds. Several countries have requirements that you need to have either a local subsidiary or something else. And one of the things which we learned very soon is that you can work around that scenario with something which is called an employee of record. There are several companies out there globally who provide these types of services, and the advantage of working with EORs is also that they do a lot of the local paperwork. You can basically enter all the information about the employees you want to hire from a salary, benefits, and everything else perspective. They more or less give you the total cost of the for the company and everything else. So it is, in this modern day and age, actually much easier as a company to make this work. Based on the fact that we have been running as a multinational company for many years with our US and EMEA operation, we were already pretty used to having people work in different time zones and in different geos. So that was not necessarily anything new for us. But the onboarding and hiring process by itself became very interesting. The good, or more, I would even say the interesting part which we learned out of this as a company, was that hiring people in all these different territories gives you access to far more resources. Sadly enough, there were certain limitations which we had to apply, which we couldn't actually work around with, which is actually very sad. And I can share a very good sample story out of that. So, for example, we had one very, very good candidate out of Iran. But the challenge with that is, as we have so many customers in the US, but also security-related customers here in EMEA, having someone from Iran was more or less a no-go. We even evaluated if we could resettle him and potentially move him to our Dubai office or something like that. But even that wouldn't have solved the problem that he still has a passport from Iran. And based on that, we are not able to just actually quickly get him joining our team from that perspective. But besides that, we were able to get a good list of candidates and actually had quite a few people join our team from different countries, and primarily around Northern Africa, Middle East, and areas like that, in real contrast to what we expected, because we were expecting a much higher amount of US candidates actually apply for us, especially due to the amount of projects we run in the US and the customer base we have in the US. But It seems like that people were looking for something different than us. And to be realistic, at this day and age, the biggest challenge we have in the US is that due to the large tech companies like the big hyperscalers like Google, Microsoft, and people like that, the salaries are in ranges which are just not achievable. I mean, even if I look at our freelance resources, which are typically in a higher rate than the employed people, even over there, it was completely unachievable to get to these salaries. And even if we did the basic math and calculated how much would we need to raise, or how much would we need to charge our customers to be in a reasonable rate perspective, didn't work out. But in the end, it was just a handful of people from the US, but we had far more candidates from other countries. And I think that is something, as more and more companies start talking about the fact that they want to allow a remote work, they want to allow home offices and everything else, I have the feeling that many companies are still limiting themselves with local resources. So from that perspective, it was an absolute go for it. Challenges we faced, and as I said before, I wanted to talk a bit about challenges we faced and identified on this pathway as well, is for those people which we had for the US, hiring someone in the US is far more complex than I thought it would be. I was used to the German complexities, and based on that, I was expecting it's like, hey, there is not much which can go worse. But actually, US hiring process with all the different taxes, insurances, local scenarios, and everything else is far more complex than I thought it would be. But again, looking at all of these different scenarios, we figured out that working with these ER companies and HR companies to handle that externally is actually taking a lot of the pressure away from us as a company and making it a lot easier for us as well. And by the way, if you have any questions in the meantime, feel free to drop them in the chat window. We utilize different streams, so people are actually following on different streams. So I will read out the questions then if they show up and bubble up. One other thing which we have figured out, especially here in Germany, was by the point in time we changed our campaigns and actually changed from having a German job advertising to an English-speaking job advertising, we had a completely different set of people applying for our jobs. No matter whether that job advertising was going out via social media in form of a video, text, a picture, whatsoever, changing just from German to English actually made a huge difference. The last hires we had, for example, on the back office team were both from English-speaking campaigns. And the lessons which we learned from both of these people was that they are no longer applying to, that they were not applying to any local language job advertisements. It's not because they were not fluent in German or anything else. It was primarily because they have seen that especially local companies, whether it is in Germany, and we had similar stories about Spain and other territories, are looking for local people. And if you have people who actually come from abroad, it's a bit of a different story. So for example, we have someone who joined our back office team from project management perspective. He's living in Germany. He comes from the US. He explained to us that it was not necessarily always that easy to find a location. We have someone who joined our assistance team, and she basically came from Bolivia, was studying in Germany for many years and stuff like that. So all of them are not candidates which are, let's say, typical scenarios where you would say it's like they barely speak German or anything else. They are fully in the region and everything else. So I think it's as a company, if you really want to live the modern flexibility and everything else, you should really look deeply into becoming more open to hire people where they are, and also to allow people to work where they are. clearly, if the job allows. One of the things which I have to explain very often as a global company to people when we have discussions about home office and stuff like that is that there are certain limitations. Limitations due to projects. So, for example, we have certain customers which require that any work is being done outside, inside the EU or Northern American territory. That needs to be looked after, and people need to be sure that they apply for that. We actually control that from a project management perspective, where we can from an IT perspective, so that we limit access to specific projects with geographical limitations. But that is just one step on how we make this work for people in the different teams from that perspective. So this is something you can easily deal with, and you can easily handle that from that perspective. So for us, I can only say so far, this has been hugely effective and positive experience to utilize really a global workforce. We could actually attract people in different countries, in different models. And you need to start thinking outside of the standard box, which is something which we also saw. So for example, we had someone in the Middle East territory, and from that Middle East territory, that specific person actually said, it's like, hey, I want to move to Dubai. I don't want to stay where I'm living. And so we worked on a short-term plan on how we could actually transition that person to be in our Dubai office. And that was something we had to deal with from a visa, work permit, and everything else perspective. But again, don't be shy by these things, because from our experience, especially if you work with EOR or HR companies which deal with that, they can handle a lot of these scenarios on how you get visas for people, work permits, and everything else. This is nothing you as a company should actually deal with yourself, because it's highly complex, it's highly differential in every different country, and from that perspective, you're very limited. On the other part, I must say, is like the good part we have as of now is that now within Comdivision, we have people from all over, at least no longer just EU and the US, but we have people from more or less all over the globe. And this is actually helping us with customers. And this is something which we see with customers as well. Initially, when we thought it's like, okay, we are going to hire people in Dubai, in Egypt, in other territories. And how are our, especially US customers, going to react to that, or even our European customers react to it? Many of them are used to work with us in English anyway. I mean, for North America, that's clear. But for even a lot of the European scenarios, then we should actually work with that. And but overall, the feedback from a lot of the customers was actually pretty well received, because the customer said, it's like, look, the people you're bringing us are actually really solving our problems. And having the diversity on the team also helps customers who have a similar diversity on the team. So, for example, we have service providers in the US who then again have teams in Europe or in Eastern Europe. And the more different people you have on a project, the more people actually have to adjust to use a standard wording, standard terms, and not actually go that much into country specifics. And this actually helps all of us to be more and more successful from a company perspective. There is a question, how do you deal with different salaries in all these different countries? So clearly there is a salary difference. As I said in the beginning, we had quite a bit of a challenge with the US, because the expected salaries were completely outside of the range which would be what we could apply to customers. So that was a bit of a challenge from that perspective. But on the other side, in some of these other countries, we have lower salaries, but we then try to make it still very attractive for these people to join the team. So only because the, let's say, standard monthly salary would be like 5K in that region, if a reasonable salary and the people would actually perform for it would be more in the 7 to 10K area or even higher, depending on the specific job, then we could apply that for that specific person. And so we try to not be country specific with the salaries, but actually be specific to the individual job, because people might be moving, people might be switching countries and roles, and it can't be that we actually limit it from that perspective. What we try to avoid with that is exactly the scenario what many US tech companies had after the pandemic, where during the pandemic, people moved out of the Bay Area and moved into cheaper areas of the US. And all of a sudden, they had much more out of their salary. So instead of having a very small apartment, they could afford having a house or anything else. But now then the tech companies actually figured out, it's like, oh, people moved into a different scenario. And in the US, certain companies have regional bonuses. Depending on where you are working, you get a higher or lower salary. So as the pandemic was over, as everybody was actually rebasing and actually reporting where they are located, because people said, it's like, oh, we can't actually come into the office because I'm living now in Michigan instead of California. People had to adjust to that, and we try to avoid that. So the idea is that on average, and it depends on countries, taxes, insurances, and a bunch of other things, but we try to balance this so that it is actually equal across the different countries, because as we run pretty open books internally for many, many of our scenarios within the companies, people would rather quickly figure out that there is a huge discrepancy between different daily or monthly salaries, and that would actually create a different motion in the team. It would also cause other challenges, because potentially a project manager or a sales manager would actually be more attracted to take the lower rate resources and sell them as a senior resource still to the higher rate country, and then actually try to make this either as a margin or give customers a specific discount. And to avoid this, we basically try to balance this out as good as it can. Sure, there are limitations, and it doesn't always work that perfectly, but it is actually, for us, it's working pretty well so far. Another question coming in, how do you deal with people moving? People moving for us is something clearly we need to consider that, because there are all kinds of tax and legal implications out of it. But in general, as I explained with trying to balance the salaries and everything else, we figured that that is not necessarily so much of an issue. The important part is we need to make sure that we are legally and tax-wise and everything else in the green area, which also, by the way, applies to remote workers. So if someone is actually just for a week or 2 weeks somewhere else to work, it's typically not so much of an issue, depending on the type of work, the location, and everything else. But if someone works, let's say, from the holidays, it's relatively simple. If someone actually moves somewhere or works there for multiple weeks or something else, we need to consider this more thoroughly, because in those specific areas, we need to be much more clear that we obey local tax laws and everything else. So, for example, even though you can easily move around within Europe from a job perspective, but as you are working, if you are, for example, a German, and if you are actually working for 4 weeks, 8 weeks, or something like that from Spain, that can actually become an issue, because you need to potentially pay local taxes in Spain and stuff like that. So this is something which I said before, is working with an EOR, so an employee of record company, can clearly help you, because you can always raise the question with them and say, it's like, okay, we have this employee who is temporarily moving there or actually working for this in that time period. Do we need to actually migrate their contract or anything else? And they can work with it. So as I said, from that perspective, working within EOR is definitely going to help you. So how do you deal with customers who want to have a specific language? So yeah, so that is an issue. So if I, for example, have a German-speaking customer, typically in our case, we have that problem, especially with German public sector customers, and they require a German-speaking resource. Okay, then we are bound to the resources which we have with that capability. And then we need to now limit it down to these specific resources. And now we can only allow these specific people to work on the project. On the other side, that means for the customer, potentially, they have to wait longer for an available resources with the skill set, because all of a sudden, by limiting the language, it becomes more rare. It's the same like by limiting it, for example, with a specific security clearance for a specific country or NATO or something else. In that specific scenario, we need to basically fulfill specific requirements, and those requirements need to be fulfilled in the specific country, so limits the amount of resources we can deal with. But let's face it, what we see in many, many projects, even when it comes down to military projects, across at least the NATO territory, it's much easier than you think. Clearly, I cannot actually take someone out of an Arabic country, which is not part of the NATO, and actually have them work on a NATO project. But that is more or less the exception. We have enough people who can actually deal with these specific scenarios. When it comes down to service providers, and even very large ones in the US, up to hyperscalers, and when it comes down to infrastructure projects, this is typically not an issue. It needs to be announced. We need to make always a specific security clearance, not security clearance, like for military purposes. But especially in the US, there are certain requirements we have to go through for employees to allow them to, even if they work remotely. So if they work remotely and do not actually touch base foot on the US ground, they do not need to have a US work visa from that perspective. In most cases, there are exceptions for that as well. But we still need to get through specific reviews of these people. So there needs to be a checkup that there is no criminal record and all of these scenarios. But we typically do this on a regular basis for all of our employees anyway, because this applies more or less the background check and stuff like that applies to, let's say, 95% of our projects. So this is nothing we can just actually avoid or ignore from that specific perspective. Okay, so that was quite a bit of questions. If you have any other questions, feel free to drop them in the comment section, whether it is on TikTok, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, or anything else. Also, again, we are running this as a podcast recording, so you can find it on the different podcast platforms, whether it's Apple Podcast or any of the other ones, Spotify, for example. Just search for my name and you will find it over there. Thanks, by the way, for all the likes and everything else and all the platforms. Also, it would be great if you give us a bit of a feedback on how you like that we split the content formats now a bit more, it having a bit more clear. If Just Chatting is really more from a business perspective, talking and clearly separating the VMware by Broadcom pieces out from that perspective. So, for example, on Thursday, we have the recording of the next VCD roundtable, which is purely technical focused from that perspective. And just let us know if you like that and if you enjoy that and if we should continue with that. Yeah, and we have already covered 25 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on when you look at the starting clock. If there are no further questions, let me wrap up today's session. So this was episode 30 of how Comm Division became a global employer. So this is the topic of the day. It's episode 30 of Eve Just Chatting. We covered more or less how we moved from trying to hire people primarily in the EU and the US into opening it up completely globally, how we worked around the different challenges by utilizing EORs, so employee of record companies. If you search a bit on the internet, there are different ones. I don't want to do advertising for any one of them because there are all kinds of different advantages, disadvantages between them. Talk to them. You need to work with them a lot, so you need to get along with the people. That's important. Trying to figure out how to deal with visas, etc. Again, the EORs are a good help with that. It's much easier than you think. You need to be open for it from a company perspective. You need to also clearly communicate your expectation. Only because someone is sitting in a different country, you also need to make clear which are the territories they are working in. For example, if I have someone who is actually applying for a job from, let's say, Romania, and I know that he is going to work primarily on US projects, I need to make clear in the hiring process that they know which time zones, et cetera, they are most likely going to work most of the time on, and whether that's fine or not with them, because that is the challenge of participating in a global company, that you might actually work in different time zones and you need to be fine with it or not. And if you tell me, no, you are not fine, you only want to work EU time zones, then we just need to look at how many projects and how much can we do within those time zones. So I hope you enjoyed today's session. A session for next week, I can tell you already, is going to be how to deal with criticism versus feedback, and how you differentiate with that and how I learned over the time to actually deal with that. And I hope that we get even more viewers and listeners next week. If you couldn't actually attend the full session, the recording is going to be on YouTube and the podcast is going to come up in a couple of days on the different podcast platforms. Hope to see you again next week. And if you're not doing so already, follow me on social media. The tech is Eve Sanford as on all the platforms. And hope to see you there. And I hope you enjoyed the show. See you.